And what I'm about to share about this afternoon, as when I was praying and I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to share with your people? What is it you want from me? What is it you want me to do? Sometimes when God uses us as a vessel, amen, and we're praying with a prayer and asking God what he wants us to speak to the people. But how many know that God always wants to speak to us first? Amen. And this week has been a week where God has been really dealing with me. I was sharing with one of the leaders this week how I've been struggling. I was struggling to put this message together. And the reason why I was struggling to put this message together that the Lord showed me a bit later is because he was dealing with me. Amen. He was dealing with my life. And how many know God don't stop? He's always wants to do more in our lives because he wants to give us more. He has so much for you and I. But we got to open ourselves to him. Amen. And trust him with our lives. Because after all, our lives belong to him anyway. And so as he was dealing with me this week, I said, Lord, whatever you need to do, you do. Because I'm going through a season in my life where I want things. And how many know we want things in life? There are things that we are believing God for in our lives. Whether it is a new job, a new house, a family member, we are believing God for something in our lives, for more. And I'm saying to the Lord, as I'm seeking him this week, I'm saying, Lord, there has to be more than this for me. There has to be more. But church, we got to be desperate. When we come before the Lord, we've got to be desperate. We've got to say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I'm not equipped to do this. I need your presence. I need your power. I need your glory to be revealed in my life. I need you to come with your supernatural power, your supernatural anointing to break the yoke of bondage in my life, to release me to be who you want me to be. And this week has been a tough week. It's a week of prayer and fasting. And to be honest, it came at a good time for me. Because I've been running away from stuff. I've been distracted with stuff. And how many know that when we're looking over here, and God is there, we're not going to be able to see what he wants us to see. When we're listening out over here, and the sound is coming from there, we're not going to be able to hear what he wants us to hear. So church, what I want you to do this afternoon, not for me, just be open. Because I believe what the Lord has given me is, he's challenging me, but I believe that the Lord is challenging all of us. Yes. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 54. Last week, we heard from Dr. Robert Bragg, and he touched on the vision the core values and statement of faith and the beliefs and other values of Destiny City Church, and how it helps to form a framework of our guiding principles for this ministry. God wants to do something in this house. Amen. But the core of his message, what he spoke about last week, some of you may not have been here, but he spoke about running our own race. And what he meant by running our own race is not looking at the person next to you. Not being concerned about what anyone else is doing or how they're doing it. But be concerned about your life. The Bible says that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to work things out on our own with the help of the Lord. Amen. So bear that in mind, that we are running our own race. We're all on a journey. We're all taking a journey together, but we're all on a journey, taking different roads, but what's going to happen is going to end up at the same destination.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, if you want to stand for the reading of the word, and what I'm going to speak about today is enlarging our frontier. Turn to your neighbor and say, enlarge your frontier. The Bible reads, sing, O barren woman. You who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children who are desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for your presence that is here in this place this afternoon. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would take full control, that you will guide and that you would lead us in the way that we ought to go, Lord, according to your will. Lord, I ask, Lord, as your vessel this afternoon, that I would decrease to allow your spirit to increase within me. Speak through me, Lord God, what you desire to communicate to your church. Father, we take care to thank you in advance, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When you're preaching, it's thirsty work. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So when God spoke to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah about the barren woman, he was talking about increase. What Isaiah was talking about was increasing, growing, enlarging. But also, I believe he was speaking about Jesus, and he was using Jesus Christ as an example that Jesus didn't naturally have children. And this is what it's saying in the verse 1, that he didn't by nature have children. But in the end, as he was offered as an offering for our sins, he inherited descendants.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we are a product of that. We are descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have to be a people that's grateful. Because of Jesus Christ, we can now call ourselves children of God.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't that beautiful? We can call ourselves children of God. Amen. We are no longer orphans.
That's right.
Amen. We have been adopted in the family of God.
Amen.
That means we serve a king.
Amen.
God has a kingdom. And in that kingdom is many, many blessings that are stored up. There is nothing that we cannot ask God for that he cannot give to us.
Amen.
But we serve a God that wants to do more in our lives. He don't want to just give us the little things that we may think that's important, because we do. And this is what the whole week for me was about. There are things that I've been saying to the Lord that I want. I want to achieve this. I want to have that. And these are things that are not even important. Everything that we concern ourselves about, God, he concerns himself with.
Uh-huh.
But there is more that he wants to give to us.
Amen.
There is more that he has for us. But we're going to take our thoughts and our thinking off of the small things. And start thinking big. Start thinking large. Because when we begin to think big and we begin to think large, we begin to get bigger things, larger things, better things. Because we know that God has good for us. His word says that he has a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. In chapter 53, there was a clear prophecy. There was a clear prophecy about Jesus, and it talked about how the coming of Jesus and how he was going to come and he was going to be the atonement for our sin. Amen. And because of him, we can have life. We could begin to have life again. Amen. And chapter 53 actually talks all about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, as I said earlier about the descendants, that as he gives himself as an offering, amen, for our sins, then he will inherit the descendants. This is what Isaiah was saying to the children of Israel. That you are going to inherit more. There is more that I've got for you. And what you need to do, you need to have the mindset now that you don't want to stay small anymore.
Right.
You don't want to stay small anymore, because in Isaiah 54, let's go to verse 3. And in verse 3, it says, it goes on to say, you will expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. That means that God wanted them to move out, to expand their territory, to larger their tent so that they can actually take more. They can take more cities. The desolate cities that were out there, God wanted them to expand and to move out from their area so that they can start inhabiting those places.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
That's right.
And so what I'm talking about today, I'm not talking about us going to a different city. I'm talking about the enlarging of our tent.
Yeah.
Us as individuals. Now, the definition of frontier is a border, a line, a boundary separating two countries or a region. But I'm talking about the boundaries and the border that's in us. Because we have boundaries that we set for ourselves. We will only allow God to come so far. The enemy is the one that will see a gap and he will come in uninvited. But God is a gentleman.
Amen.
He will knock.
Amen.
And he will wait for us to open.
Amen.
And if you don't open, he will keep knocking.
Amen.
But he will not break in. Because he's waiting for us to invite him in. And so the borders that we set and the boundaries that we set in our lives, we'll only allow God to come so far. And sometimes those lines will even stop other individuals from coming in to your life. Because how many know that God uses people? And it's a fact, he uses people. And he will use some people to speak into your life. As God has used people to speak into my life. Sometimes we will allow, depending on who it is, to minister to our lives. But sometimes it would also depend on what it is that they're actually saying.
Amen.
Because a lot of times we only want to hear what we want to hear. Because if we begin to listen to the things that we don't really want to hear, we know that those very things are the things that are going to begin to challenge us. And we don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be challenged. Really. I would say I want to be challenged. But when the challenge comes, and when God begins to nip away at certain areas in my life, I'll say, oh, I don't know about that.
Come on,
let's be real.
Yeah.
We're not always open before the Lord. As a matter of fact, we wrestle against God all the time.
Yeah.
But it's knowing that God has good for us. As his word says that he has a plan to prosper us. And for me, prospering means more. That's what prosperity is. It's more. It's better.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Come on.
It was God's plan and his desire for us to grow from the very beginning. In Genesis 1:28, it says, he blessed the man and woman and said, be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
He didn't suggest it. He didn't say, if you can, if you may, if you could do me a favor, and be fruitful and multiply. He said, no. He said, go, be fruitful and multiply. That tells me we're not supposed to stay the same. We're not supposed to stay the same. So the very beginning of the word of God, he's telling us to grow and to keep growing. And this is what he was saying here to the Israelites, the children of Israel. That it's time that you start growing because you have been in the same place for too long. You've been in the same spot for too long. And it's time that you start moving out and stretching out your borders. It's time you start moving out of your comfort zone. And start taking possession of the land. Start taking territory in your life. There are areas in our lives that are territories that we don't step into. We leave it there and it lays dormant within us. many of us here have something that God has given to you, but it has lain dormant. There is a fire that is inside of us that is waiting to be ignited.
Come on.
That is waiting to be set ablaze.
Amen.
But it's going to take us, and as I said earlier, we have to be a desperate people. We have to be hungry for God. But God is saying to us, church, that we cannot stay the same. As he was saying to me this week, Pauline, you can't stay the same. Sometimes people think because you may have a status or a position, it says something. It's a privilege to be chosen of God and to be raised up in office. But it doesn't change the fact that God is still doing a work in your life. And there is still more that he wants to do. There is still more that has to be developed. There is still more that has to be increased in our lives. And it's not easy, church. It's not easy. I'm not saying that it's easy. But it's good. Because it produces a patience in us, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It produces a fruit inside of us that enables us to go for the next thing that we go through. Because there's a growth that takes place in our lives. But we have to overcome what comes to us. And he has told us in his word that we are more than overcomers. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the power. You have the authority, because we hold the Holy Spirit in our lives. He resides in us. So when we say we cannot grow, we can't do it. We can do it. Not on our own. But we can do it. We can accomplish it because the Holy Spirit lives within us.
Amen.
And we are propelled by the Holy Spirit and energized by his grace. It's his grace that energizes us.
Yes,
it's his grace that enables us.
Amen.
When we don't feel that we can handle what's going on in our lives, it is his grace that undergirds us, that gives us the strength that we need to get up in the morning,
yes,
and say, Lord, okay, I'm going to try again. Because,
yes,
I know that I've got you, uh-huh, with me. We are able. We just got to believe it. We've got to believe in ourselves. And we've got to boast in the Lord. And I'm not saying being prideful as in the world's pride, but being proud of who we are. Being proud of the fact that we serve a God that is for us, that we are children of the Most High God. There is nothing that we cannot go to God about. Nothing. We ask God for things, and sometimes he will give it to us. Most of the times he don't. But it's worth a try. Closed mouth don't get fed.
Amen.
So we have to. But you see, we can go before God like that. We can be honest before him. He don't always give us what we want. But he definitely will give you and I what we need.
That's right.
That is guarantee.
Yes.
Amen.
That he will give us what we need.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Amen.
So when I'm talking about our tent, the tent actually represents our shell.
Amen. Right.
Our body.
Amen.
In our, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe, verse 4 or 5, it talks about how that when we die, our outer tent will diminish and God will give us our heavenly tent, which will be eternal. It also talks about it in our 1 Corinthians 5, I believe, and I'm just trying to do this off of my head here, that the body is a temple.
That's right.
Amen. So when I'm talking about our tent, I'm talking about us. But God wants to increase our spiritual capacity. Because our spirit is what lives in this tent of ours. And he wants to increase our spiritual capacity. He wants to enlarge us as individuals. Because he has more for us. Do you ever wonder sometimes that, you know, you go along in life, because when you see what's going on in the world and nowadays, and you think, you know, you're hearing of all of these devastations and all the earthquakes and the murders and the, all the different things that are going on and people dying, and you think, because I know that I say it sometimes, what is the point? Really? What is the point of all of this? Because I'm going to die anyway. But that's not, we're not storing up riches for here. Because when we go before the Lord in heaven, we're not going with our husbands or our wives, our children, you know, a son or daughter. We're going before him on our own. And he's going to be asking you, what did you do? I came to church every week. I pay my tithes. And listen, I'm not saying that you can't just come to church and pay your tithes if that's what God has called you to do, to just come to church and pay your tithes. But I don't believe, according to the word of God, I don't believe that that's what God has called these people to. It's just to come and fill the pew. There are people that don't know the Lord. There was a friend I heard last week that she passed away. She came here. And we as a church, we prayed for her. And you know what? When I heard that she passed away, because I was texting her every so often to ask her how she was doing and so forth. And then they move her to a hospice. And then when I heard that she passed away, do you know the first thing that came into my head? I didn't think about anything else. The first thing that came into my head is that, thank God, I led her to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You see, it was a couple of our sisters here that brought her and her family to the church. And I believe they brought them out of obedience. That's what God wanted. And it happened that I had the opportunity and the privilege to lead her to the Lord. Amen. There are people that don't know God. Because it's not all about the gifts and the talents and the things that we hold. It's about people's souls. It's the souls that the enemy is after. He's not interested in what we're good at. He's after our soul. And God loves us so much that he sent his son to remind us of that love. And he went as far as to the extreme of making his son given him a task to go to the cross, to die for people that he don't even know. Personally, in the flesh, like that. That's how much God loves you and I. But the only way that we're going to actually know more of God's love and experience the love of God is spending time with God. And I'm talking about quality time, but we have to have an attitude where we're desperate. We have to have an attitude where we're saying that, you know what, God, I want everything that you have in store for my life. There is more. I'm not settled with what I have. If you're okay with being settled with what you have, then that's fine. But I know that God has more in store for each and every one of us. And I said that our journeys are very, very different, but we all are going to end up at the same destination. Amen. But God has placed a calling and a purpose on each and every one of our lives. It may be that God has said to you that you need to be the best mother that you can be to those children, because your task and your role is to spend time with me in my presence, to know my heart for your children so that you can raise your children in the things of God. Because the word says that they will not depart from it. So even if you raise your children a certain way in the things of Christ, they may be out there running around and doing all kinds of stuff, because I have a son that was out there and he's still out there and he spent time in prison. But as a mother, I ask God to take him and give him time in prison so that he can open his eyes. That was hard for me to do. But if it was the way that God was going to get his attention, then so be it. And he still is out there. But I know, as a mother, I know. Because in my household, my children would tell you that there are things that I do not allow in that house. I raised them a certain way. And I am believing that at the right appointed time, that he will come back to the Lord and he will be what God has sent him to be, because he who has begun a good work is faithful to complete it. He is faithful. So when I see him walk out that door, all I say, Lord, is cover him with the blood of Jesus. Let no weapon that is formed against him prosper. And every tongue that rises against him, let it be condemned in the name of Jesus. Because he is a child of the Most High King. We can't determine what's going to happen with family members, but we've got to hit our knees. We've got to be aggressive in the Lord for what is ours. He came from my womb. My womb. God entrusted him to me. And so, until the day that my last breath breathes, I will continue to pray and believe for him. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself, and don't give up on your loved ones. Never, never retreat and never surrender to the enemy. The enemy has had me in places where I'm like this at times. I don't want to get up. And it's the word of God. God reminds me of his promises. He reminds me. That's why, church, we've got to know God's word. Because it's the weapons of our warfare. We've got to know the word of God. This is what we fight with. And this is why I'm saying that we have to step out from our comfort zone now. God is challenging me to go to another level. And I don't know what that level is going to be. I don't know what to expect. up ahead. I don't know where he's going to take me or what he wants to do. But I trust him.
Come on.
He's taken me this far.
Amen.
And he's kept me.
Yep.
And he's been faithful. And he's not let me down. And he won't let you down. Just take that step. So he wants to expand our spiritual capacity so that we can absorb more, we can obtain more, that he can give us more. And sometimes when you hear things coming across the pulpit, you think it's all about ministry and it's all about doing things in church and it's all about, you know, going out on the streets and all these kind of things. But listen to what I'm saying. When you spend time with God, you move out from one level to the next level. And you challenge yourself to go to that next level with the Lord. And you spend quality time in fasting and in prayer. And you say, Lord, you've got to expand me. You've got to do it. Here I am. What happens? It draws us closer to God. It may not feel comfortable at times, but it will take us closer to the Lord. And as we grow in our love and our desire for God, we will want to serve.
Yes. Amen.
Nobody will have to tell you to serve in whatever area, because the love of God will compel you to do so.
Amen.
So, enlarging your tent. We got to make room to grow. And when I say we got to make room to grow, we have to challenge ourselves. And when I say challenge ourselves, I don't mean sit down and we got to wait for someone to say, you know, can you do this? And I'm talking about challenge, because I believe everyone prays here. And I believe that everyone hears from God.
Amen.
Do you hear from God? I believe that. So whatever God is saying to you, whatever he's telling you to do, it's your responsibility to act.
Amen. Amen.
It's not for me to tell you. I'm dealing with my own challenges. It's your responsibility. He's speaking to you as an individual, to challenge yourself, whatever that challenge may be. And it, like I said earlier, it may not be about things to do here, but we have dreams and we have aspirations. Amen. And the Bible says that as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. And more often than not, this is what God does. His desires will become our desires.
Amen. Amen.
And then eventually, if it's according to his will, he will give it to us. Whatever we're believing him for. Because he's a faithful God. So we challenge ourselves. It's important that we connect with other people. And we build relationships. I know that when I was coming up in the Lord, because I'm more of a, I'm not really an outgoing person. When I say outgoing, I'm not naturally sociable by nature. Because I'm quite a shy person, you might believe it or not. But I am quite a shy person. And so it's not easy for me when I have to connect with someone that I don't know or someone that is at another level. Because sometimes it's easy for us to be around people that we feel comfortable with that's at the same level as us. Or I'm talking about spiritually. They're at the same level as we are, or at a lower level of maturity than we are. And we're comfortable around that. But the minute we start step out and we start moving into a circle where it's taking you to another level, you begin to get all nervous. And because I know for me, I get nervous and fear comes on me and stuff like that. But it's a challenge. And we got to connect with people. It's important that you connect with people that's going to invest in your life. People that is going to put worth in your life. Connect and build relationships with others. Bounce off of them. And one of the ways to do that is to come to church, to be around people of like-minded people, to get into one of our life groups, and to share your thoughts, ask questions. Because when you come to church on a Sunday, it's not always possible for us to ask questions when things are going on. But in the life groups, you have an opportunity to do that and to get to know people in a more intimate setting. Move out. We've got to move out of the small space that we are in. Start getting active. Spend quality time reading. Reading the Word of God. Because when we begin to read and study the Word, and I'm not talking about skim through certain things, I'm talking about really reading and studying, dissecting the Word of God, getting the commentary out, looking at different versions of what it means, getting out your dictionary, breaking things down so that God can begin to speak to you and illuminate things in your life, and then you will receive the revelation of it. Because it has to be illuminated. It has to jump out. There are things that I will read in the Word of God and I think, oh God, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't really. Yeah. And then I start, go on the internet and start searching, because I want to know. Yeah. And then the penny drops. And then the understanding comes, the revelation comes. And when that comes, it's an exciting time. Because you know what happens then? An increase. Because you've learned something that you didn't know before.
Amen. Amen.
It brings growth.
Amen. That's right.
Into your life. Give God the opportunity to speak to you through it as you developed your devotional life. So when we're spending time with God and we're conversing and we're communicating our thoughts and our feelings with the Lord, let him speak to you about these things. Let him give you more understanding about the things that you are reading. I love when people come to me and they say, oh, I read this, or I listened to this message and this is what came out. I love hearing it. And a lot of the time, it's little nuggets that I can even take for myself.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's growth. Get what you can get. Grab what you can grab. Because all of it counts. And it builds the foundation and prepare us for what God wants to launch us into. Stretch out your tent curtains. Stretch them out. Move past mindsets. Because mindsets can hold us back. The things that we think, because a lot of us, we go by what we see. But the Bible says that we are to be a people to not look at what we see before us, but look at the unseen. Know that God is working something out in the spiritual realm for our good. We may not be able to tap into it all the time, okay? But God is working something out for us. He's working things out for you and I. And so we got to know that he's doing that on our behalf. Because he said that his word will not come back void. that it will accomplish what he has sent it to do. Now, these are the things that we have to hold on to. The word of God, it renews our mind. It transforms us from the inside out. And when we have a mindset that is telling us, you know what, it can't happen. God's word tells us that it can happen. And we believe that by faith, that all things are possible for those that believe. We have to rid of beliefs. Because beliefs and past hurts, they will hold you back. I have rehearsed hurts. People that have hurt me. Things that have hurt me in the past. And I've rehearsed. And you know what it does? It drains you. Oh, God. It drains you. It drains you so much to the point where you say, Lord, I don't want to be here no more. I just want to go home. It drains you. That's what the past does. The only time we use the past, the only time we go back to the past is when we're using it to take us forward. That is the only time that we use our past. Amen, church?
Amen.
Apostle Paul said, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 3:14, as we walk by faith, we are unleashing a supernatural dynamic where we will experience miraculous breakthrough by expanding our capacity to receive his flow of blessings in our life. We are releasing a supernatural flow. But we got to open ourselves up. Get rid of some junk. Get rid of some stuff, some mindset, some beliefs. Put down the past and allow God to renew us, to refresh us, to mold us, to shape us into the very beings that he has purposed us to be. Train your flesh. And when I say flesh, I'm talking about this. Because the flesh is like, it's almost like the tongue. You can't tame the tongue. You can put the tongue under subjection. Like there's times when you want to say things and you have to. You've got to put the zip over your mouth. That's just placing it under subjection. But any moment, any time it has an opportunity to rage or say what it wants to say, it will say. And sometimes it will say, it will move so fast that you say it and you think, oops. That's the tongue, and the flesh is almost the same. When we feed ourselves with food, our flesh is like, happy, because when it tells us to eat, we eat. If someone upsets us, we don't want to talk to them. Our flesh controls us the majority of the time, and this is why when I'm talking about separating and fasting, because we hear about prayer and fasting, but we've got to understand what the fasting actually does. It actually it denies our flesh and it increases our spirit. So we will be a people that begin to move more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And what I would say to you today is to be a person that provokes your spirit. Provoke it in prayer and fasting. Train your flesh to yield. Because our actions and our reactions are stimulated by how we feel. When our flesh is raged about something, it activates our feelings. If someone upset us, we go, oh. It activates our feelings. Yeah. And what happens, it sends like a signal.
Yeah.
It sends a signal to our brain.
Yeah.
This is how the feelings is connected to our brain. When the flesh starts to react to something that takes place, it activates our feelings and it sends a signal to our brain. And when we receive that signal, it starts telling us, it starts reacting to what is going on inside of us. So however we feel, that's how we will think. That's what happens. However we feel, and as soon as it starts stimulating our brain, it starts tell us stuff. So when somebody, for example, may take something and hit you with, it's activated your feeling. Bam. And if you are not in the spirit, your reaction, because it's hit your brain, is pow. You're going to want to take them out. But when we are walking, and that's the truth of it, when we're walking in the spirit, we pause. Start think about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we even begin to tell us, really and truly, I just want to knock her out. But through the love of God. Do you hear people say all the time, if I wasn't saved?
Come on.
If I wasn't saved.
Come on.
And it's real, because there's many a times that I've wanted to just and I say, Lord, I'm so grateful to you, God. I'm so grateful. Because if not for you, oh man. That's why I said, we need him. We need him. Church, we need him.
Come on.
We need him. Let's not take him for granted. He's so good to us. So let us begin to train ourselves and train our flesh. Amen? Do not spare. Do not spare, he says. In other words, don't hold back. The Lord said this because he knew that fear will grip the Israelites. So that's why he said it. He said, don't hold back. Do not spare. And sometimes when we got to step out into a supernatural, into the supernatural realm, do something that is beyond ourselves. Amen. Fear comes on us. Fear begins to grip us. Because it's something that is unknown to us. It's something that we haven't experienced or may have not done before. But this is the time when our trust in the Lord begins to kick in. And the word of God begins to kick in. Because we're then telling ourselves that, you know what? If God says that I can do this, then I can do this. And it's just the case of me having to step out by faith. There are going to be times in life when we're scared. There's going to be times when we're faced with decisions. All of us have times when we are faced with difficult decisions. And many of the times we make decisions, like I mentioned, I believe last week, I think, that, you know, many times we make decisions and choices based on what we see, or based on how we feel, or how we want to make someone else feel. We make those decisions instead of seeking God's face and saying and consulting the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How should I do it? How should I act? How should I be? How should I respond to something? And sometimes we mess ourselves up because of the choices that we make in our lives, for our lives. Because we're looking at our circumstances. Or we make a decision to make someone else feel good. God wants us to put him first. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And all the rivers, they shall not overflow you, they shall not overflow you when you walk through the fire. You shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, says the Lord. Isaiah 43, verse 2. He said that he will uphold you. He would uphold you and I with his righteous right hand. God won't fail us. He won't fail you, church. He won't fail you. He says that we need to lengthen our cords. He told the Israelites, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Ensure you keep growing. We can't use the old prayers. When we got saved, we prayed a certain way. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, because there are times in our lives then when we have to go back to basics. And we've got to remember, because sometimes God raises up us to a certain place and we forget where we're coming from. And then he may have to humble us. And it's going to mean that we have to go back to basics and start and understand how it was for us when we first came to Christ. Because sometimes what happens as well, we can get to a certain place and we have no compassion and no thought for anybody else or with the level that they're at or what's going on in their lives. Because we've got past that place and we think they should be doing better. But it's for us to be people that encourages them to say that you can do better, because Christ is for you. You can grow. You can be what God has called you to be. We're not to use anybody else's stakes or use the stakes that we had before. God's taking us to a new level so that we've got to go deeper. The prayers that we were praying before, we've got to go to another level with those prayers. We've got to go deeper in our word, because the stakes have to go deep down so that when the storms come, we are unmovable. There are times when storms will come in our lives, because they're going to come and they will keep coming. But every time we get past one level, we will go to another. And we keep climbing, but God will take us where we need to be. Amen? So we've got to go deep with the word of God. There are things in life we see in the world that the world is evolving. And things are changing rapidly every day. How things were 20 years ago is not how it is now. Technology and all kinds of stuff is going on. People don't even speak to people anymore because they use WhatsApps and Facebooks but all the going around people's houses for dinner, all them days they're finished. People tend to communicate now differently. And there's all kinds of things that are going on. So we've got to move as God wants us to move. So how we would do things before is not how we do it now. We got to be relevant to the time that we are in. And so now is the time for us to increase. Now is the time for us to grow, to come out of our comfort zones, to be the people that God has called us to be. To enlarge. You may start playing. To enlarge any space or any area, you either have to stretch out your existing space to make room or step out into a bigger space. Amen. I believe that the Lord is saying to us. It's time to move out. It's time to grow. We can't stay in the same place. It's time to move into a bigger space. To come away from the confined area that we have been in, that we have been occupying. Church, let us start occupying those desolate cities, those desolate places in our lives. God has put businesses in people. God has given many of you gifts that you're not using, that people don't even know about. Many of you have dreams and aspirations but sit on them because you think they can't happen. Well, God is telling you today, are you going to trust me? Because those dreams and those aspirations don't have to be nothing. They can be a reality. If you want to stand with me today, church, I believe that the Lord wants us to claim some things in our lives. Claim some things and reclaim some things. Extend the borders. Enlarge your frontier. Move beyond the boundaries. Move beyond the line that you have set for yourself. Begin to step out in faith. Trust God for that thing that you are believing for. Begin to trust Him for that dream. Whatever it may be, God is able. Stop thinking big. Dream big. No more small thinking. Have big perspective. Stop thinking small. This is what the Lord was saying, Pauline. Stop thinking small. I am bigger than your situation. I am bigger than your dreams. God, as if He cannot do it. Joshua and Caleb, they saw a place of enlargement before them when they went out to spy the land. And the rest of them, there were 12 of them, I believe, that went out. And only 2 came back with a good report. The other 10 didn't believe. They were small-minded. They fought small. Their thinking was small. They said that we can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, they came back and said, we can do it. We can enlarge. We can expand. God wants to do more, church. He doesn't want you and I to remain small anymore, but to start increasing, reaching out, and allowing to stretch us, to enlarge our tent. It's time to grow. All over this place, just lift your hands. Just begin to speak to the Lord. Just you and Him. Right now, just begin to speak to the Lord. as the musicians play. Tell him what you're thinking. In Proverbs 23:7, the word of God says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Come on. Big dreams. Big aspirations. Come on. If you believe in God for a business, you can do it. If you believe in God for your children to be saved, family members, come on, stretch out your tent curtains. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes today. Come on, don't leave this place the same. God is here. Jesus is in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to shout out. Speak to him. We need to be a desperate people. Hungry for God. Church, increasing our reach, our capacity for success is not a suggestion by God. Hear what I'm saying. For us to enlarge, it's not a suggestion. God ain't asking us. It is biblical, it's scriptural. God is not asking us to enlarge. He's telling us that we must grow. He is telling us it was a commandment from the beginning of time. And he is telling us today that it is time for us to grow. There are some people that are here today that you have been barren for a long time. I believe that God, the Lord is saying to you today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. This is your time. This is your season. Just look to me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Focus on me, the Lord says. Give me that very thing. Give it to me. Because it's that very thing that is holding us back. I don't know what that very thing is in your life, but there is something. Sometimes it's a someone, but there's something that is holding you back. Give it to the Lord. Hallelujah. And today what I want to do the last thing. I want to give people the opportunity to take a step, to come out from our seats, because sometimes we can just be in our seats, and God, the Holy Spirit, will touch us right where we're at in our seats. Or it could be in a toilet, it could be anywhere, okay? I'm not saying for you to come out of your seats because the altar is in one place. I'm telling you to step out from your seats and come to the front to meet God right now. To meet him. All over this place. Step out from your seats. Speak to the Lord. Because Jesus is here. Whatever you're believing God for, he can do it. He's done it before in your life. He's done it before in your life. He's done it before in your life. He can do it again. Come on, cry out! Cry out! Here are the robots, Satan. Rambo! Here are the robots, Hallelujah! grow. God is calling you up. He's calling you up. Come here and have laid at this altar. Leave it here. Leave it right here. It's time to break out. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time now. It's time to break out. Leave it right here. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your Son and for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the wave of your Spirit in this place. And Father, I pray that the word that you have started in each and every one of our lives, that you will continue, because your word says that you are faithful to complete it. Father, I pray that you will continue to move as you are moving in the hearts and in the minds of your children. That, Father, that there will be a shift that has taken place in our lives, so that we will open ourselves more to receive more of what you have for us. Challenge us, change us, transform us. Set us free, Lord, by your truth, so that we can experience the fullness of the blessings that you have stored for us. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we give you praise this day. We give you all the glory and all the honor, and all the saints of God say, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. As you make your way back to your seats, let's welcome Dr. Robert as he comes to give the tithes and offering and announcements.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor Pauline. Amen. Amen. For bringing the word of the Lord today. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Did you hear from God? Amen. It's God that you want to hear from. All right. And we give God all the glory, all the and all the honor. The ushers just like to just come to the front, please. And we're going to take up our tithes and our offering. I said, we're going to take up our tithes and our offering. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to read the portion of scripture, Isaiah 54, actually, same verse which we used, Isaiah 54, now read from verse 1, if we could put it on the screen, please, Isaiah 54, verse 1 and 2, it says, sing, O barren woman, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge, somebody say enlarge.
Enlarge.
He says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Say, do not spare. Say, I won't hold back. It says, lengthen your cause and strengthen your states, for you shall spread out to the right, to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And this, the first part of verse 4 says, do not fear. Somebody said, I will not fear. Amen, amen. And you know, as we heard in the message, there is a place and a life that we can live in within our mentality, how we operate, and how we even just live out and execute life, where we can get into a comfort zone and where the norm becomes the norm. Almost to the point where we become captive or prisoner to what we know and what we only know. We've never ventured over here. We've never tried this. Right, we've never even thought about, you know, becoming like this, because we've been raised this way and we've only been taught this, and this is what we have been indoctrinated with in life. I don't even know what you know could become a prison to you. And when someone says to you, you know what, step out. Yeah, step out. Step out. Fear not. Somebody say, fear not. You know, because God, because I want to do something new in your life. And when God says he wants to do something new, there's something that we have to do to facilitate or hold what God wants to do new in our lives. Remember that verse in the gospel where it says that he cannot pour new wine into an old wineskin. Amen. All right. So we have to like position ourselves to hold what God wants to do. And if God says you got to stretch, you got to stretch, you got to stretch, you got to stretch. Amen. And when God speaks to you that way, how many know? We're led by the Spirit. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. We're children of God.
Amen.
All right. Pastor Pauline spoke about the flesh can stimulate us, and we can make the flesh tell us what to think, or we could allow the Spirit of God, amen, to direct us in life, and we can take steps according to what God says to our lives. And that happens in life. And one of the areas this happens to is in our giving. I don't know about you, but I get challenged every week. Amen. I usually come to church, man. I say, right, I'm going to give this. I'm going to give this amount. And then, but I check with God after and say, is this all right, Lord? Amen. How many know my flesh tells me to give this? And then the Spirit says, no, I want to do more in your life. I want to challenge you. Yeah, but fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And the encouragement today is give and prepare your offering not based on a comfort zone. Not based on fear, not based on a limitation, an internal limitation, not based on your flesh, but prepare an offering today that comes by faith. Somebody say faith and not fear. And faith, a demonstration of faith is when you respond to what God is saying to you. Amen? All right? Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel bore better offering. That still speaks today. In other words, man, it was a move of God in his life. So I want to encourage you. When anything you do unto the Lord, do it by faith. Because if it ain't faith, it's all wrong. It's more because faith is trusting God. And anything that's not faith is trusting in something else, that other than God. Amen? So if you're in need of a envelope. Also, want to let you know we have a debit and credit card machine to the back of the church. Just there, if you want to give by my card, then you're able to do so. Amen. If you need an envelope, just raise your hands and the ushers go to please to pass you on. Are you ready to give on to the Lord now?
Amen.
By faith,
amen.
Not fear. All right, by faith. Go ahead and prepare your offering. I'm just going to pray. Father, in the matchless, wonderful name of Jesus, we come before you today, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for providing, Lord, for us and giving us all that we need, Heavenly Father. And today, Heavenly Father, because of what you want to do among us, what you want to do in us and through our very lives and through our destiny, Heavenly Father, we give this offering to you. Stir us and quicken us, Heavenly Father. Let a challenge be upon us, Heavenly Father, to stretch a bit and go a little bit further, Lord, because we're believing you, Heavenly Father, to provide not just money, Father God, but help us to sense the opportunities and the possibilities that lay before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Take this offering, Lord, and use it for your furtherance of your kingdom, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You can come and just bring your offering to the front and place it in one of the baskets that the ushers are holding. Make a few announcements. Thank you very much, ushers. All right, how many of you have been fearing your first week of prayer and fasting? All right, okay, you're ready. That aside, don't worry, we're into our second week now. All right, our second and final week for this month. And this year's is theme: taking territory, compelled by God's love, or compelled by His love. All right, so I want to remind you to pick up your prayer and fasting manual from one of the ushers before you leave today. In it, you will find a daily devotion, which you can read. And there's also prayer points and some action points. And how many of you know it's good to pray? I said it's good to pray. All right, so be encouraged. And this acts also as a good tool to keep us disciplined in doing something we ought to do every day, which is read God's word and to pray. So be encouraged and make sure that the person that you came to church with does not leave without their prayer and fasting manual. Also, I want to remind everyone about our life groups. Come on, so get excited. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't just make church, coming to church, an event. Amen. This is the life that we live. All right, we live by faith. It's not just about Sundays for us. Amen. Monday, we want to meet the Lord personally in our house. And we also have some life groups which allow us to connect more, to build friendships and to strengthen and enlarge our community. And it's also a place where you get to preach. Hallelujah. You get to share, man. You get to discuss and ask questions, which we also heard a bit earlier on. So there's one life group held here on a Wednesday from 7 to 9 o'clock, from 7:30 to 9 p.m. here every Wednesday. There's one in Hoxton, Hackney, praise the Lord. And there's also one in Walthamstow. The Hoxton, Hackney one and the one in Walthamstow are held every Friday evening. And you can get the details from the respective leadership. The Wednesday group is run by Pastor Carol. All right, that's right here. The one in Hackney is run by Carlton and Yvette. Praise the Lord. They're known to everyone in Hackney, I think, by now. And the one in Walthamstow is run by my wife and myself. All right, praise the Lord. Also, just finally before we finish, or if you're visiting us for the very first time, we pray that you've had a blessed time in the presence of the Lord. We'll ask you also to fill out one of our Connect forms. What this will do is just take some personal details, not that personal, just an email address, a telephone number, amen, and ask you in the areas of your interest so we can keep you updated and connected of any events that are taking place and also any changes that are taking place. And those of you who want to invite people to church, also, you're free to pick up a flyer from the reception desk on your way out. God bless you. Let's go ahead and stand. Amen. Let's have the praise team. Just come and stand for one more song. Let's sing that song, No Limits. How many people know there's no limits now? Amen. We're going to new frontiers. We're going to new boundaries because that's where God is calling us to. We're going by faith. We're not afraid. Come on, son. I'm not afraid. Tell your neighbor there's no limits. There's no limits. You can be all that He has called you to be. No limits. Don't let where you're coming from be a limit. Don't let what you know or don't know be a limit.
To win the invitation. Stopping me.